It is indeed a privilege. Let me thank you on behalf of my good wife. We have had some beautiful days being here in what we call this paradise on this side of Jordan. We are just very, very honored by your invitation. And as I was doing a lot of catching up on some homework back home, I could not help but to share my joy of being here with those that I was texting and emailing. I honestly believe God is readying you for a new chapter in your history. When I saw so many young people on the opening night, I sat there on the platform and said, God, you're moving here in the Cayman Islands. You're doing something wonderful. And then when I met with your leaders and saw the way in which they were actually having fun being together. Now, that's rather rare that I've found in my travels, that leaders come together and really enjoy each other's fellowship. And yet I got the strongest sense that that is precisely what was going on, that the people of God were having a lot of fun being together, doing the work of the Lord. May you continue to do that. Continue to remember. Yes. We will be praying with you. I will be in Anderson on Sunday. I'll be preaching at the Eastside Church of God there for their missionary convention. And I will be sure to share with the saints the great things that God is doing here, you know, in this beautiful part of God's world. I have been sharing out of a common theme, and that is the graciousness of God, that God has gifted us, that in this time in history when so many things look so perilous, there are crises on every hand, sometimes we have to be careful lest we allow the mood of the world to come into the church and to take hold of our thinking and cause us to become moody as well. When we come together, we come to celebrate. We come to give God thanks, to give God praise, because He's still doing great and marvelous things. And we must sometimes remind ourselves that He's still in control. And in spite of what is happening in our global market, God is still over this world. It is true, He's got this whole world in His hands. He has gifted us in ways. And I want to bring this concluding word based on Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. And please allow me a little time. I do not plan to keep you long. But I want to kind of take my time to share the burden that God has placed on my heart for you. Matthew chapter 8, beginning at verse 1, when He was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed Him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth His hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, see, thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, truly I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou believest, hath believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. What a gracious God we serve. God has gifted us. And one of the things that he has bestowed upon his people is that he keeps setting new possibilities before them. The God that we serve never runs out of possibilities. In fact, that's the one reason that we can rejoice. He can never be checkmated. He can never be stopped. He always has options he can exercise, regardless of how dire the situation might seem. What keeps us smiling, what keeps us going, what keeps us believing, what keeps us trusting is the fact that whatever road we are on, we know our God has fresh possibilities. That he's always ready to do something new. He's already available for us to discover how great and gracious he is. And it does not matter how bleak the outlook looks. He's always ready to show us that he's prepared to raise the curtain of hope and allow us to see he's still a God who is mighty able to go beyond what we can ask or think. That alone should cause us to have joy. That alone should cause us to have some pep in our step. I believe that alone should cause us to be able to look at life with a smile on our face, recognizing that in spite of how high the mountain is, in spite of how broad the river might be, in spite of how hot the furnace might be, our God is still able to master any and everything because he's still the Lord of history and he's a God of my salvation. Is your God big? Big enough to handle what you face? Big enough to deal with the problems in your life? Is your God big enough to move whatever needs to be moved and to remove things that seem impossible? If he is, you ought to give thanks to him and praise to him because he has revealed probably the greatest truth that you can entertain. He's reminded you that he's still able to deal with whatever we face. A God who gives us what? New possibilities. A God who keeps reminding us we have not yet reached the summit of our potential. We have not yet exhausted, you know, the zenith of our potential. The God that we serve is still a God who says, keep moving. Keep going forward. Don't let anything stop you and don't let anything dry up your praise because I'm a God who stands available if you connect with me in faith to show you fresh possibilities that I have for your life. In fact, it was so interesting that when I finally announced my intent to retire, a few people thought, Pastor, you can't retire. You're still too young looking and still too vibrant and still too full of energy. I said, yes, but God has some fresh possibilities that he needs me to be a little freer in order to attend to those. And I'm getting ready for what I believe is the finest hour in my history. I'm getting ready to do something fabulous for God. Because God is always showing us that it does not matter how old you are, he is still a God who masters age and everything else. He never runs out of possibilities. For that I give him thanks, and for that I give him praise. He came down from the mountain. He had been there preaching and teaching. In fact, he did what God sent him in the world to do, to open the eyes of the blind and enable them to see that the kingdom of God is a kingdom that is characterized by blessings. who has faith in God is blessed. That there's nobody who walks with God who is not blessed. I don't have to go get a blessing. I am blessed. It doesn't matter where we are, what we're going through. You don't have to go hither and go thither because somebody's got a blessing that you cannot find where you are. You can be where you are and know that who you are is what God has done for you. You are blessed already. All somebody else can do is help you to understand the fullness of your blessing. But it is up there preaching, because a lot of people who are kind of weak in their faith, they're kind of wandering in their spirit. They're always going here, going there, seeking some new and exciting thing. They're always titillating themselves because somebody else proposes to have something that nobody else has seen. Well, I don't want anything nobody else has seen. I want to stay with what Jesus has said and what Jesus has revealed. Why? Because he said, you are blessed. Particularly, you are blessed if you have faith in God. And after he finished talking about the nature of his kingdom, is the kingdom is filled with people who are blessed of God through their faith in Jesus Christ. He came down from the mountain. And when he came down from the mountain, it says crowds followed him. There'll always be somebody following, just looking for a handout. There'll always be somebody following, not really to hand him their heart, but just to get a handout from him. There'll always be people who have no real inner desire to really make Jesus Christ at home in their lives and Lord over their lives. But he found two. He found two. There'll always be those few who will be determined to serve him because they love him. And they've come to understand that he can give them what they need, a fresh start. That he can give them what they've been seeking, a new possibility. That he can help open up to them a new adventure. And that is being on the healing side of life and being on the witnessing side of life and not just the seeking side of life. And as he came down from the mountain, two men followed him. Jesus marveled at these two men. He would marvel because he recognized that here were two remarkable individuals. They were remarkable because of their faith. They saw in him what they had been looking for and waiting for. Someone who could make a difference. And friend, I'm going to tell you, if there's one thing I've learned from my walk with God, it doesn't matter what you're going through, Jesus Christ can make a difference. If you'll hold a God's unchanging hand, I'm here as one representative to tell you, he can make a difference. I don't care how bad things look and how wrong things may go. I don't care how far some people have strayed. Jesus Christ will make a difference if you will hold to his hand and trust him. He'll make a difference. Oh, imagine the difference that he made. In fact, I've often believed if part of the testing of my faith is, can I imagine the difference that Jesus will make? Can I imagine it? Because I believe if I cannot even imagine it, I will not have faith in it. I will not seek it. I will not pursue it. I once told a youngster, I said, what are you going to do? And they said, I'm going to school. And I said, how long are you going to be there? And he said, until it's over. I said, boy, I like that kind of, I kind of like that. You're going to be there until it's over, until you get what you went there to do. What are you going to do when you get it? Well, I'm not sure. Go back and pray some more. Because I believe God wants you to imagine what he's going to give you. I believe he wants you to go away and pray and ask God, Lord, show me what you have in store. Now, let me tell you why. Because early in my ministry, as I was starting out, I was following a giant. My dad had pastored there for 23 years to this congregation. He left a solid group of people who were very deeply committed to loving the Lord and loving each other. They were few in number, but they were the salt of the earth. And here I come along, and he's ill and needing a replacement. And I come along to assist him. I'm walking behind a giant, trembling all the way. I can never be the man than that my dad is. And I've always believed that, and I still believe that, because he was a man of men. But I remember one day sitting in the office saying, God, I don't know what to do. Oh, I know I'm called to preach and to teach. I understand that. Visit the sick and encourage the weak. I understand that. Help people to grow in their spiritual maturity. I understand all of that. Be supportive of missions and be involved in. I understand all that. But God, help me understand what it is you want me to do. And it's as though the Spirit whispered in my ear and said, take out a piece of paper. And I took out a piece of paper and I said, what am I going to do? And he said, just be still and you will know that I am God. And I sat there. And after about an hour, I said, God, this is not very productive. And he seemingly said to me, be still. And I sat there. Finally, I said, God, how am I going to justify this to our trustees? I'm not doing very much. And he said, sit there. Be still. You know, the hardest discipline in our lives is to be still. I find even when most people come to a stop sign, they don't stop. There's just something about us that we need to be active. We think that we're really doing the work of God when we are active. That we got to be going here, going there, doing this, doing that. And it's almost as though we haven't learned from our Lord. If we would just stop and be still, God would help us to imagine the future. What he wants to use our time to accomplish. And after about a couple hours, I wish I could tell you it was easy for me to be still. It was not. But all of a sudden, the heavens opened. And it's as though an angel had come inside of me and picked up my pencil and started writing. And I could not stop. I was writing down all he was revealing to me. And I kept saying, and God, you want me to be used to do this? And keep writing. And I wrote, and I filled up two pages. And finally, God said, now give it to me. And I remember submitting that thing to him and taking it and putting it in my attaché. And I said, Lord, tell me when to reveal it. I was so excited because the future that he unveiled to me, I said, oh, God, I can't wait. I can't wait to show this to our leaders. I can't wait to get them alone and let them see what God has poured into my spirit. I can't wait to share this with somebody who has faith. Somebody who's not controlled by fear. But God, help me to know when that moment is that I can share this. And I put it away. And finally, a young girl walked into my office about a year later. And she said, Pastor, can I come to see you? I said, of course you can. Come on in, Dolly. And she walked in. Dolly was only about 12 years old, and she was a vivacious young girl, very energetic, loved the Lord, and given a little heart to God, and she meant it too. Always there at the church, as a church girl. Every time the doors opened, Dolly was there. I said, Dolly, what is it? Thinking she's 12, well, she's processing some changes in her life, and maybe she wanted to talk about something. Maybe she discovered there are other creatures called boys. And what is it, Dolly? Pastor, God woke me up last night. I said, Dolly, that's great. You know what? That's a preacher's thing. God always wakes preachers up. Because he talks to them best when they are still. And I said, what did God say to you? And she said, God told me what our church is going to do. I said, he did what? He told us what our church is going to be doing. I said, wait a minute, Dolly. I went back behind my desk. I got my attaché out. I had my list in there. I said, what did God say to you? Pastor, our church is going to grow. It's going to really grow. God is going to bless us, and he's going to use us to reach people with the gospel. I said, he told you that? I said, yes. I said, what else did he tell you? Pastor, we're going to become, you know, we're going to have people other than just we black folks. We're going to have some other people in our church. I said, Dolly, we are? She said, yeah. And Pastor, we're going to grow so big that we're going to have to move off this street. And because there's not enough parking around here to accommodate the people who are going to be coming to our church, you're going to have to build another church. I said, Dolly, I'm going to have to do that. She said, that's what our church is going to be, Pastor. I said, tell me what else they got. She ran down the list, and as she's talking, I'm checking. Everything on my list, God gave it to that little girl. And I said, Dolly, can you imagine? God has entrusted you with a blueprint for our future. She said, Pastor, I'm so excited I can't wait for the future. I said, I can't either. And I called a meeting of our leaders. And I said, come together. God has spoken. I've had it confirmed by a 12-year-old member in our congregation. He has given us a vision of what we are to be, and I am excited. Would you please do me a favor? Pray with me about this vision. Number two, please help me to think through how best to do it. I don't know how best to do it. I need your thoughts to help me. But number three, please don't tell me we can't do it. It came from God. I'm convinced of that. So I need some people who will come alongside and throw the weight of their thinking into the process, and let's figure out how best to move on God's vision. And I'm going to tell you, ever since then, and parenthetically, I can tell you, everything on that list, we did. Everything on that list, we did before I turned the reins loose. And the reason I feel so great about it is because it started me to thinking, God, genuine faith comes with a capacity to imagine. It comes with a capacity to imagine the future, to imagine what God has out there for us, and then allow God to come along and confirm what he has revealed. Part of why Jesus must have marveled at these two men. One was a leper, and the other was a Roman soldier. Two unlikely candidates to imagine anything other than fear and doubt and despair and gloom. But here God had somehow spoken to their spirit and caused both of them to take the initiative and go seeking for Jesus. What they found in Jesus was a willing spirit. That's the reason I love my Lord. Sometimes we act as though God is reluctant to bless us. And yet when both of them came to him, what did they find? They found the Lord saying, I will. He used that same word to both of these men. To the leper who said, Lord, I know that thou canst cleanse me. And Jesus said, I will. He said it immediately. No reluctance there. No hesitation there. Because God is waiting for people to exercise faith in what he reveals to them. To let them know that he's a God of fresh and new possibilities. When people are beginning to see what God wants to do. When people are beginning to believe what God can do. God said, I love those kind of folk because I am ready to bring to pass that which I have revealed. I will clean you and I will come to you. The one but God, we're not worthy. I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. But if you would just speak the word only, I know that my servant will be healed. You know why I think I love this passage so much? It's because I am challenged. I am challenged at the level of my faith. If there's one thing I need to have more of, it's faith in God. If there's one thing I need to be more trusting of, are the things that God has put in my spirit regarding my future, because it tells me how God wants to use my time on earth to his advantage. It reminds me that my God has an agenda for all of our lives, that my God is a purposeful God, that I'm not here just to do nothing. I am here to play my part in advancing his work in the world. That God has a purpose and a ministry for every last one of us, and there's something that we can do to make him known to the greater world out there. That's the reason life is exciting for me. I can't understand sometimes why some people can get up in the morning and not feel like standing up and just saying, praise the Lord.